I'm sure there are a lot of business consulting firms in Honolulu, but what does the Brand Strategy Group do, or how does it set itself apart from what other marketing firms or other consulting firms do here in Hawaii?
Okay. We, Brooke and I help people, like I said earlier, with looking at their business from a different perspective and adding value to the way people think about their business by helping them organize organize and bring things to life, sort of bringing the intangible to life so that they can, special things, often clients have a guarantee. And often they have like 100% guarantee and they never tell anyone about it. Hawaiian Host was such a client. They would return, if anybody returned, you know, had a complaint, they would give them a new box of chocolate, and they are they're very careful about quality control, and they never told anyone about their guarantee. And so one of the things we did was bring their guarantee to life. Every business has a story, and we help businesses find their story and tell their story. And even if they don't tell it in a public way, like Hawaiian Host does now on the back of its boxes, they can tell it to their employees. So their employees understand, have a bigger reason for why they're working for a company than maybe they understand why it's important in this community or why it's important to the owners or what the services are that they deliver that are important. So we look at companies' values and we help them think critically about their business from a point of view other than just the bottom line.
Now, it would seem, though, in marketing and advertising, you're concerned about image and how you're viewed by the consumers. But in that case, with the chocolate company, showing them how they can motivate their employees is more of an internal kind of a process.
Yeah, we actually look at it both ways. But your employee really is the front line for your brand, even if you're, even if they're in a manufacturing line, because how they feel about the work they do and what they communicate to other people about the company is really, really important to the company's survival. Also, to getting better employees, especially in a tight market like this, you want your employees to be able to articulate what it is you do, why you have a good place to work, and why they're happy there. And oftentimes, you know, just by putting it together for them in a few phrases so that they know what to say. One of the clients we worked with was Hilo Medical Center, and it didn't have a very good reputation in the Hilo community. And it was really hard for the employees to run into somebody at the gas station, and everyone had these anecdotal stories about someone who died or some horrible thing that happened there. And so we worked with the employees on issues of pride and the values of Hilo Medical Center and the values of service to their community and what they were trying to do to make people feel better, to give them some, you know, when somebody said to them, oh, you work at Hilo Medical Center, to help them be able to say, yeah, I work there. It's a great place to work because we have the best radiology department in, or we're recognized as, you know, we help them find what was great about Hilo Medical Center and let them know that.
Do you think a place like Hawaii, where you've got different cultural influences, that, you know, the value of being humble here is you know, something that people like to embrace? Is that a problem when you're trying to market yourself?
Well, yes, but even in Hawaii, people don't like losers. And so even though we may prize humility as a value, there are ways you can talk about being proud to work for your company or being grateful for the fact that your company does something special for some kind of charity or, you know, helping people understand what it is that your company does in the community.
Now, when you go in to consult with a business, you have to work with what you have. I mean, I'm sure there are some companies that don't promote themselves well enough or market themselves well enough, and that underneath it all, they've got some really good products and
right.
services and what have you. And then on the other hand, you Have you come across companies where all the, you know, massaging and spin in the world couldn't take that, you know, that product and make it something to market?
Right. Well, it actually, what we do is we focus on the positives of a business. We don't, it's not that we ignore the negatives, but building a brand and looking at the values of a company is really about focusing on what's good about the company and expanding that. So not that it edges out the negative, but that so people can be inspired and feel good about the values of the company. There are strategies for people when you have sort of nothing to offer or less to offer than the competition. Usually, in such a case, like McDonald's, when they were in the very beginning of sort of fast food, McDonald's had they had better restaurants, they had better bathrooms, cleaner, more consistency. And so what they did was they focused on their customers and told young wives that they could deserve a break, as opposed to telling them about their product. And then Burger King...
You deserve a break today?
Is yeah.
Where that came from?
That's where that came from, is that they said, you deserve a break today, because people were leery about taking their families out to dinner. And it was still in the 50s and early 60s, mothers felt obligated. They were still stay-at-home moms, and they felt obligated to feed their families every night. And McDonald's message was to them, you deserve a break today. You can bring your family to this nice, clean restaurant. And, well, you know. And then what Burger King, which was truly inferior to McDonald's at the time, they were the number two in fast food, but they hadn't gotten all of their... They hadn't gotten things together the way McDonald's did. They focused on the one weakness that McDonald's had and said, have it your way, which was the one thing McDonald's couldn't do. So that's so that oftentimes if you have a product that is weak or truly inferior to the leader in the marketplace, first of all, you have to focus on improving the product. But secondly, usually in a competitive framework, you can find something wrong with the leader and focus on how you do it better.
Okay. I was looking at your website. I noticed a couple of interesting things, one of which was you've done work with the state judiciary to help shape the public's image toward mediation and encourage people to use more mediation more. What kind of experience was that?
Actually, it was really interesting because I was part of a very successful mediation, and also both Brooke and I trained in the Neighborhood Justice Center to become volunteer mediators some years ago. And so working on mediation, one of the things through the state judiciary, there are several mediation centers in the islands, and people tend to regard mediation as less than in terms of if you can hire a lawyer and litigate and you have a lot of money, people feel like in a divorce especially, or even in a neighbor dispute, that you have an edge, and people don't like to feel like that someone is going to get them. And usually people are angry when they go into any kind of situation where they want to hire an attorney. And so mediating means that you take a lot of the responsibility for the problem, and that you're willing to look at the problem and give a little and take a little, share the responsibility for the problem and share the responsibility for solving the problem, which is actually very empowering. So that working on having people appreciate the value of mediation was really interesting because most people regard it as a secondary choice, or especially when there's a lot at stake.
Did they come to you, or
yes,
did you go to them?
Yeah. Yes, Elizabeth Kent, who's she's the head of the Center for Alternative Dispute Resolution. She came to us to ask, and I'm not sure who referred us to her, but to look at the idea of of why you would select mediation, the way they talked about it, for instance, in their television commercials and their PSAs, was to show two people at a table with a sort of a lawyer-looking kind of dressed person helping them have a discussion. And, you know, the real thing about mediation is that you get a chance to express yourself individually, and you also get a chance to respect yourself by being able to deal with the issue with another person without calling them names and, you know, all of that. So that the opportunity to talk about mediation is really to talk about how angry people get and acknowledge that everybody has the same kind of issues, but there are ways to solve them that are more self-respecting, so that instead of showing people on either side of a table, you might show somebody talking about how really furious they were for some stupid reason, which is why we all get mad, and then showing how they could solve the problem by using a mediator to help them talk to their husband or
whatever. Did they formulate some kind of a campaign based on?
All
of their printed materials, we changed all of their printed materials, and we created something called Mediation Times, which essentially was a four-page tabloid where we wrote, we interviewed people who had been through successful mediations, and we wrote their stories into Mediation Times like it was a small newspaper, and also wrote articles on why you should mediate and what are the benefits of mediation, little columns and call outs, and the advertiser printed 20,000 of them for us on a pro bono basis, and then we distributed them to places where people might be referred to mediators, doctor's offices, lawyer's offices, just different places around, so that people could read about it and learn more about successful mediation.
And that's a case where
their materials.
You had some personal knowledge.
Right.
I mean, it was something you put in. And is it easier in a case like that to make your recommendations and to analyze what needs to be done versus you're thrown into a situation where, you know, it's a type of business or service that you really don't know a whole lot about, and it's not in your heart, and you still have to come up with a way for them to help convey their message? Is it more difficult in the latter?
I think it would be, but one of the values of having your own business is that you can turn down opportunities that you don't feel are right for you. And branding, like anything else, is a discipline, and so we have some processes that we go through with clients that are created to help everyone think as a group about their brand. And so we teach people about branding at the same time that we get information from them, and usually what happens is people are fun and have fun in this critical thinking session that we work with them in, and that they're enthusiastic, and you can pick up on their enthusiasm. One of the great things about this business has been learning about other businesses. So it's sort of like anything else. You are a journalist, and you're schooled in asking questions and in, you know, rooting out what the real piece is or whatever, what the central idea is. And so in the same way, Brooke and I have really studied branding, and we can apply the discipline to almost any subject. And we rely on our clients to know their business. We also do a lot of secondary research. The internet has been a real blessing to our business. We review, like right now we're working on a project to name a couple of buildings in Honolulu. And so our research takes us to looking at their locale here, looking at what the history of the land is and their location, but then also looking at similar sized cities and what buildings are named there and naming practices around buildings. And then also just working with the client.